Welcome to the Summit Restoration Church podcast, where hope comes alive, lives are restored, and Jesus leads the way. Let's climb higher together.
The title of my message, we're still in Kingdom Life, part three today, but if I had a title, I guess it would be, You Are Not Who You Were. You are not who you were. And I want to continue today with our conversations that we've been having on the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Has anybody been learning anything from those? I want to continue with that conversation and in that thought process of the kingdom of heaven. But I also want to begin to incorporate the function of the Holy Spirit in our lives also, because those two things are so beautifully intertwined together. The kingdom of heaven and the Holy Spirit. They're so beautifully intertwined because you see, it's the Holy Spirit who teaches us how to walk in and how to abide in the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. Right? And next week, we'll be talking even more on the function of the Holy Spirit. So you really don't want to miss next week. Next week's going to be really good. It's going to be a beautiful service because we're going to get to close the service out with one of our favoritest things that we do here at Summit Restoration Church. We're going to have Baptism Sunday. Amen. Woohoo! Baptism Sunday is always a party around here. We love Baptism Sunday. So be ready for that. It's going to be good. We're going to talk more about the function of the Holy Spirit. You have the keys. Jesus gave us the keys to the kingdom. He said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. You have the keys to the kingdom of heaven here on this earth, but you need the Holy Spirit to teach you how to access those keys, to teach you how to use those keys so that you can walk in the Spirit everywhere that your feet decide to take you in life. And I think it's really sad that we live in a culture to where if you're one of those Christians, we could be labeled one of those Christians. We go to that church, if you know what I'm talking about. But I think it's really sad when we live in a culture to where if you're one of those Christians, that's them holy rollers. That's them holy rollers. That's them tongue talkers. That's those, that's those Holy Spirit filled, When you're that kind of Christian, it's sad to me that you are labeled a serial Christian. And how many of you know what a serial Christian is? Fruits, flakes, and nuts. And Angela and I, we actually know somebody. We know probably several, but one that I'm thinking of right now, we actually know people who were Spirit-filled, and they were part of a thriving Spirit-filled church. And when their kids were born, they pulled their kids out of that church. They pulled their kids away from that church, and they started going to a popular church. They started going to a more cessationalistic church. And that big word, cessationalism, that basically means they don't believe that the gifts are for today, that the gifts died out with the apostles. And our friend that we're talking about, they said that the reason that they they did so, that the reason that they pulled their, that they stopped going to that church is because they didn't want their kids to grow up and be labeled fruity. That they didn't want, they didn't want their kids to be made fun of because of the church that they went to or how they believed. So in other words, they wanted them to be able to fit in with the world. And now because of that, now that those kids are grown, and because they were ashamed to be associated with the Spirit-filled church, those kids have, are grown up and not in church. And they're living their life full of the world. And my heart hurts for these people. My heart hurts for these types of churches because they leave you with Jesus. No, that didn't sound right. That didn't sound right. A better way to say that is they stop at Jesus. They stop at Jesus. And that makes me sad. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Don't put words into my mouth. Don't misunderstand what I, there's nothing wrong with Jesus. Pastor Marty's not saying that. There's nothing. He's our Savior. He is our Lord. He's our Redeemer. He's our soon coming King. He's the name that we call on for everything. He is the third person of the Godhead Trinity. But I want you to understand something this morning, and that is that God sent Jesus to this earth on assignment. He didn't send Jesus to this earth to stay. Jesus had a task, and that task was to deal with the sins of man. He became sin for us. He washed our sins away. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen? Right. And when Jesus was through, when he was done fulfilling his assignment to be God's sacrifice, to be that the one and only spotless lamb who would take away the sins of the world forever, forever, my Sandlot friends, forever. There'll never be another Jesus. He did it. He fixed it once and for all. And once that assignment was completed, the Bible said that he appeared to a few people over the span of about 40 days. Some scholars say it's maybe around 500 people that actually laid eyes on Jesus after he was resurrected. And after that, Jesus ascended back into heaven. And the Bible says that now he sits at the right hand of the Father and forever intercedes on our behalf. He came and he fulfilled his assignment and he left. But before he left, Jesus said, okay, the Father has sent me. The Father has sent me, but I have somebody that I'm going to send you, and he ain't going nowhere. He ain't leaving. Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. There are three that testify in heaven. Right? Now, we don't fully, as hard as we try and as hard as we try to explain it and as smart as we think we are, we don't fully understand the Trinity. Trinity is not a biblical word. It's just a word that we've attached to the Godhead to try to wrap our human minds around it. But honestly and truthfully, there is no mind, I don't care how intelligent you are, that has ever truly understood one God in three distinct persons. He's God the Father in heaven. He's the Word in heaven. He's Jesus on earth, but remember the Word became flesh. So Jesus is his earthly name, and the Word is his eternal name. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1. So we have the Father, we have the Word, and we have the Spirit. They are not three in order. There are not three to where one is more important as the other one. But there is one God with three distinct revelations of Him. I have the revelation of Him as my Father. I have the revelation of Him as my Savior. And now I have the revelation of Him as the one who lives inside of me in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the name, He's the first name that you should call on in the mornings when you wake up. Holy Spirit. He should be the person that you talk to all throughout your day. And He should be the last name that you call on before you go to sleep at night. Holy Spirit. And this is the journey that, this is the journey with the Holy Spirit that I want you to have. Not just the fruits of the Spirit, not just the gifts of the Spirit. And again, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Those things are vital for you to have. They are vital for you to have. The gifts and the power and the fruits of the Spirit. But most, but just as equal, I want you to know Him. I want you to walk with Him. Because this is why He was sent. This is why the Holy Spirit was sent to this earth. Jesus said He will be with you and He will be in you. Bible also said that the same Spirit that raised Jesus' dead body has now come to live in you.
That's right.
Holy Spirit. I want to get you to understand just who is living on the inside of you. I want you to learn how to tap into that third person of the Godhead Trinity who that lives on the inside of you right now. You don't have to wait until you come to church to engage Him.
That's right.
You don't have to wait till the worship team hits that plateau that so we can activate His glory. Woohoo! He is there, resonant on the inside of you at any time. There are springs of living water flowing on the inside of you. And whenever you want to step into that flow, He is there for you anytime that you need Him. If you need to run off the spirit of depression, if you need to run off the spirit of fear, if you need to run off the spirit of anxiety in your house, do it. If you need to break that sickness off of your body, break it. If you need to break addiction off of you, break it. If you need to get power over your enemy, He is there. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Somebody say amen, please. I ain't even got to my review yet. It's a freebie. Lord have mercy, He's good. Okay, let's move on. That was a freebie. When we talked last time, I told you that Jesus' first statements, remember, I told you Jesus' first statements after He came out of the wilderness was in Matthew 4:17. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's His first statements that He made to the public after He came out of the wilderness. Jesus was going to deal with the sin so that the kingdom could come. He was coming to deal with sin, to do away with the sin problem once and for all, so that the kingdom of heaven could come. Can I give you a simple definition of kingdom? An easy definition of kingdom is the kingdom is life as God knows it. The kingdom is life as God lives it. That's why Jesus came teaching about the kingdom. Repent, which means change your mind. So change your mind and change your whole way of thinking, because the kingdom that God rules, the kingdom of heaven, is coming back into the earth. So Jesus is going to remove your sin so that the kingdom can be yours. So his kingdom can come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This was God's plan the entire time. Adam had the kingdom. Adam had full access to the kingdom of heaven. And then Adam forfeited the kingdom. Jesus brought the kingdom back. And that is why the Bible tells us to receive the Holy Spirit. Re means again, right? You can't re anything that you didn't already have at some time or another. So God's original intent with all of the earth is we had the Spirit of God. We had the kingdom of heaven. But when Adam sinned, we died spiritually. Which means the glory of God, the Spirit of God, departed. I'm still a body. I'm still a soul. But now I'm just a body and a soul, and I'm thinking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So I'm trying to navigate my life eating from a tree with no awareness of God. But when you get born again, the Bible says that you are born of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, God consciousness comes back into your life. And now you are not just two-thirds of a tank, you are a full tank. You are a spirit, a soul, and a body. Are y'all following me on this? This making sense? Am I boring you? Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. Jesus said the kingdom is now at hand. We also talked about how Jesus was born at a strategic time in culture. He was born during the Roman Empire, remember? And I'm fixing to teach you why. I'm about to mess you up. Or mess me up anyway. It may go. He could have been born at any time that he chose. God could have chose any time. But he chose. God chose during the rule of the Roman Empire. If you look at the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Egyptian Empire, and then you take a look at the Roman Empire, the reason Jesus was born at a strategic time during the Roman Empire is because the Roman Empire physically modeled what the kingdom was supposed to look like and how it was supposed to function, the kingdom of heaven. Whenever a king expands his territory and conquers a new territory, that new territory is called the extension of his kingdom. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is coming. God is extending his territory from the unseen to the seen. So why the Roman Empire? Because they were different than the other kingdoms. They were countercultural to the other kingdoms. They did things backwards. When a new territory was conquered, all the other empires would take the people from the land. They would take all those people from their land. They would remove them from their land, and they would take them back to their homeland, and they would hold them captive. Exiled, they were put in their enemy's land to live and to work. And the Romans didn't do that. They were ingenious. What the Romans did, they would conquer a territory, and then they would leave everybody there in their own land. But what they would do, they would take a colony of Romans. and set that colony of Romans right in the middle of that new territory that they have just acquired, that they have just conquered. Because their goal was to take that small colony and saturate that newly taken territory with Roman culture. They left you where you were. They let you keep your job. They let you keep your business. They let you go about business and as usual. And they would do this just a province at a time. Stay with me here. Now, the most important person in that colony was the governor. Right? They would bring it in. They would bring a colony of Romans in, and they would appoint a governor over that newly taken area, that newly conquered territory. The most important person in that colony was the governor. Everybody remember Pontius Pilate? The story of Pontius, we all remember that story. Caesar was the ruler of all of Rome. He was the big dog. He was the one they worshipped as a god. Caesar was the ruler of all of Rome. But Jesus was brought before the governor of that particular province, and that was Pilate. Pilate was the governor inside of that Roman Empire, and Pilate was the one who questioned Jesus. But he had the authority of Rome. He had the signet ring of Caesar on him, and when he would press that signet ring down, it was just as good as Caesar speaking it. Pilate was the one who questioned Jesus. Now let me tell you something that I learned that was so cool. This was so cool. Caesar would call a meeting once a year. He would call a meeting one time a year where all of his governors from all of these provinces that he had conquered all of this area, he would call a meeting of governors to travel to Rome to meet with him once a year. Do you know what that meeting of governors was called? It was called Ecclesia. For those of you that don't know what ecclesia is, that is where we get the word church from. So ecclesia, so church was always intended to be a meeting of rulers. Church was always meant to be a meeting of rulers. This is not supposed to be a meeting of paupers. This is not supposed to be a meeting of desperate people. This is supposed to be a meeting of rulers, of people who have authority over their territory. This is supposed to be a meeting where people understand that I am blessed of God. I have an identity. I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to multiply. I'm going to fill the earth and subdue it. I'm going to take dominion over what has been given to me. I'm not coming in whining and crying over a life that I can't change. I'm coming in here because God led me to rule my world. Rule my territory. This should be a meeting of governors, of rulers who are ruling their territory. Life doesn't have its foot on me. I have my foot on life. Because ecclesia is a meeting where all of the governors get together and rule our territories. Look at your neighbor and say, rule your world. That's why Jesus was born during this strategic time. That's why God put him in this time, so that we could see this picture of kingdom. And now, when we have a kingdom mindset, some of these scriptures that you and I learned in Sunday school and in children's church when we were little start to look a little bit different now. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know what that is? That's colonization. He didn't say that you were the salt of the church. He didn't say you were the salt of the church. He said you were the salt of the world. The church is where you come to get salty. It's where you come to get real, real salty. If you don't ever come to church, you're going to lose your saltiness. And the Bible says they that lose their saltiness, what are they good for? The purpose of salt is to change the flavor of its surroundings. God says, I'm going to bring you in here to Summit Restoration Church. He said, I'm going to bring you in here and you're going to accept me into your life and you're going to get born again and you're going to come in here and you're going to get real, real salty, and then I'm going to send you back out to second shift. I'm going to send you back out to your high school. I'm going to send you back out to your college. I'm going to send you back out to Walmart. I'm going to send you back out to your job. And then I'm going to begin to sprinkle you on your atmosphere. And you're gonna be so filled with kingdom culture that you're gonna begin to change the whole culture of where you have been sprinkled. That's called colonization. And let me say this, though. You can't change it if you're just like it. You can't change it if you're just like it. You have to be different enough from your environment to affect it. God says, Summit Church, I'm going to take you and I'm going to get you so salty, and then I'm going to sprinkle you all over the Tennessee Valley, and your praise has got to be so passionate that it affects everybody's praise around you. Come on, somebody. You've got to be so generous that it affects everybody's generosity around you. You've got to chase God so hard that everybody that gets around you wants to chase God just like you. You got to love the word so much that anybody that gets in the vicinity of you loves the word just like you do. If I'm going to sprinkle you into an area, you're going to have to be salty with the kingdom culture of your king. That word flavor that we read there is actually translated in the Greek as the word potency. If the salt loses its potency, what makes a salt potent? What makes a salt potent? Not that it's the same as where it was going to be placed, but that it's different than where it's placed. Your potency is in the fact that you are different from this world. Now, I know what I'm about to say is not a popular message, but anybody in the Bible that God has ever used greatly on a supernatural level first had to learn how to embrace on a certain level being alone. Pastor Marty, I don't want to hear the lonely message. I don't want to hear that lonely message. I want to hear the power message. Give us the power message. Sometimes you need to embrace being alone. See, sometimes we need to be accepted so much. Or we need that friend, or we need that relationship so bad that we will compromise who we are just to be accepted. And I get that. I get that. That is a need-driven reaction. I get that. I don't like being lonely either. Most people don't like being lonely. Now, some people, they'd be happy as a pig in a poke. Just leave me alone. But I don't like being lonely either. But God used David mightily after he had spent a season alone in a sheep field. Just him and his sheep and God. God used David mightily after he had spent some time alone in a cave. He was in a cave called the Cave of Adullam. I think I said that right. The word Adullam means the place of the squeeze. God gets you alone and he begins to squeeze. I told you this ain't the popular, this is not the popular message, but somebody needs this today. God gets you alone and he begins to squeeze. But you can't get the oil out of the olive unless it's first squeezed. You can't get the wine out of the grape unless it's first squeezed. So when God puts you in a place and you're feeling the squeeze, that means he's drawing something out of you. Who am I talking to today? Without that pressure, it might not have ever come out. Without that pressure, we might just have settled for normality. God, who am I talking to today? God's got you, God's got somebody in this place of the squeeze this morning. And you're feeling all this pressure. But what you don't know is what you are going to be when you come out of the squeeze. You don't know the oil that is going to be dripping off of you when you come out of that squeeze. You don't know the wine of the Spirit that is going to flow through you when he's done with you. Somebody say, thank you for the squeeze. I'm going to try to start. This is my first closing. I'm going to start saying it like that. This is my first closing. Your potency is in where you are different than your surroundings. And it is always people who were different that got God's attention. Different doesn't bother God. Different bothers the world. Different doesn't bother God. Matter of fact, it usually grabs his attention. Let me show you. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Can I show you something that's hidden that just jumped out at me? Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It says, now that, talking about Jesus and his disciples and the crowd that was following him. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho. Right? Jericho, now they came to Jericho. Now Jericho was a major city back in those days. It would be like walking into Huntsville on one side of the town and walking all the way through Huntsville and coming out on the other side of Huntsville. And then the next phrase says, as he went out of Jericho. Now, I take that to mean that Jesus walked through an entire large city and no one ever caught his attention. But it goes on to say, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Y'all don't understand Bartimaeus' life. Bartimaeus had been blind all his life. That's why they called him Blind Bartimaeus. He'd been blind all his life. And Bartimaeus said, "Look, fellas, I don't know about any of y'all, and all of y'all can go home blind if you want to, but I may never get another chance at this. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And everybody turned around. Shh, shh, shh. Chill out. Chill out, Blind Bartimaeus, be quiet. When everybody's telling you to be quiet, that may just mean that you're doing something right. Come on. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible said that stopped Jesus in his tracks. And he stood still. There was only one that got his attention that day. And it was the one who was willing to be salty. It was the one who was willing to be different. It was the one who was willing to separate himself from the crowd. And the Bible says that blind Bartimaeus walked away that day with his eyesight.
Yes, he did.
If you're willing to stand out from the crowd, if you're willing to be a city on a hill, if you're willing to be a light in the darkness, if you're willing to be the salt of the earth, you will see God use you to change the flavor of your whole surroundings. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's get back to the kingdom. Closing number two. Now, the most important person in the colony was the governor. Why was the governor sent? Why was that governor sent? He was sent to teach the new territory, not their history, but the new kingdom's history. And to rewrite their history with the one who had just conquered it. When we think of the Holy Spirit, we're usually thinking about the power of the Holy Spirit. We're usually thinking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're usually thinking about the miracles of the Holy Spirit. And all those things are so important. They are very important aspects of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, "I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be your teacher." I'm a teacher. Angela's a teacher, but the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And he will guide you into all truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17 says, "Wherefore henceforth, we know we no man after the flesh." In other words, from here on out, know we no man after the flesh. Your history's being rewritten. Your history's being rewritten. Yeah, but Marty, you don't know what I've done in the past.
Come on.
No, 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 no. We don't regard that anymore. That's so good. We don't regard that anymore. But Pastor Marty, if you just knew, no, 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 no. "Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm going to rewrite your story. Isaiah 43 and 25 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Colonization of the kingdom. Just because everybody around you can throw up in your face what you did, you think God is the same way. But you see, God on purpose blots out what you've done from his memory because he is concerned, he's concentrating on who you are meant to be and not who you used to be. So he puts that, all of that out of his mind intentionally, and he focuses on you becoming instead of what you have been. Who am I talking to this morning?
So
if any man be in Christ, all this other junk has passed away. And everything is brand spanking new. I will blot out your sins. I will remember them no more. And I will no longer regard you after the flesh. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside, on the inside of you, to reteach you about who you really are and to introduce you to who you really are. And that's what we're going to talk about more next week. So you don't want to miss it. The Holy Spirit introduces you to you.
Come on.
You before all that other stuff happened. You before all that other stuff happened. You before everybody walked out on you. You before you ever gave an ear to the flesh. You before you were ever betrayed. You before you were ever abused. And God says, let me rewrite your story. I will be your teacher. I will be your God, and I will guide you into all truths of the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to believe these lies anymore when I get through with you. Together, we're going to rewrite your story. Somebody say, the Holy Spirit is my governor. Let me show you how this works, then I'm going to close. Third time. I think this really might be it, but I'm not sure. Let me show you how this works. Go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. I'm going to read 1 through 5. Early days of the Bible. Genesis chapter 5. We're only 5 chapters in. I'm going to show you how God will rewrite your story. Now remember, first let's read the first sentence. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. Right? Now remember, we got Adam and Eve. In the beginning, we had Adam and Eve. They had Cain and Abel. Right? So, in chapter 3, they eat the fruit. They're deceived, and they eat the fruit, the fall of man. Chapter 4, sin has already deteriorated into murder. Cain kills Abel, his brother. That's how fast sin travels. So, chapter 1 and chapter 2, we have creation. Chapter 3, we have the fall of man. Chapter 4, Cain kills his brother Abel, and then he runs out into the wilderness and becomes a wanderer, becomes a vagabond. He's gone. Now here we are at chapter 5, and God comes back, and he says, Here is the genealogy of Adam. It's in the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Everybody's like, what? Tell me what? Where's Cain and Abel? Where is Cain and Abel in the genealogy of Adam? You see, with God, your sins don't make it in the book. Let me rewrite your story. Some of that, I mean, that just blowed me away. Here is the genealogy of Adam. No mention of Cain. No mention of his past. You didn't get saved just to become a better person. You have just experienced a Genesis. You are now a species that has never existed before. And now, the biggest tool the enemy has, the only tool the enemy has with you, the only tool that is the biggest obstacle that is working against you is what you remember. I just said a mouthful. Oh, but Pastor Marty, I've been such a failure. Failure is not an event. Failure is an opinion. You see, what I've considered to be one of the biggest failures of my life, God turned it into one of the greatest catapults that I've ever seen in my life. But listen to me. You have to have the Holy Spirit to rewrite that. So this kingdom that is coming alive in you, this new way of living, the Holy Spirit governs it. He lives on the inside of you. He grieves on the inside of you when you're hurting God. He grieves if you are about to take a wrong turn. He lets you feel that hurt. What is happening to me? It's God in you. He's leading you. He's teaching you. He's rewriting your story. He's rewriting who you were. Because you're still trying to live in the flesh of who you were instead of the spirit of who you are. And it's the Holy Spirit that is governing your life to a new way of thinking and a new way of living, a kingdom way of living. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, I thank you for rewriting my story. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for governing my life. And Lord, I just pray that right now you are ministering. Holy Spirit, I pray that right now you are operating in lives and in hearts. I want to speak directly. I don't know who it is. maybe several. But you're that person in that squeeze. You're fighting the loneliness sometimes. And God wants you to know, if you will embrace the squeeze, that it's not forever. He wants you to know, I'm rewriting your story. And when you come out on the other side, you're going to be dripping with oil. The wine of the Spirit will be pouring out of you so that you can colonize your territory. It's with purpose. Pastor Marty, I don't understand the purpose. You don't have to understand the purpose. Just embrace the squeeze and allow the Holy Spirit to govern you. Like the song says, your ladder is going to be greater than your past. The Holy Spirit is rewriting your story. And He's teaching you how to walk in the kingdom of heaven, how to walk in the Spirit, how to sense His presence in the hard times, in the caves, in the stillness, in the pressure. Maybe in here, and you feel like, Pastor Marty, I'm a failure. I've been a failure. You're here, aren't you? We don't regard you from your past any longer. God doesn't regard you from the flesh. Now He sees you. He's always seen you as who you were meant to be. You're not a failure. That was just somebody's opinion. God says, I see you. I see you. And I'm rewriting your story. Somebody in here that you've been quiet. The Holy Spirit has been dealing with you to share your story to the world. The Holy Spirit has been dealing with you to be salty. But you've been timid. You've been afraid. You've let fear rule your life. And the Holy Spirit wants to use you to colonize. He wants to use you to take back territory that the enemy has stolen. So I speak boldness right now. Let Him rewrite your story. Open your mouth and testify. Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you that what I thought was failure was just a moment. And you used it to get glory. Lord, we thank you for the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for the keys to the kingdom that we can walk in and have access to. Holy Spirit, work through us. Govern us. You be our governor as we govern our territory. Lord, we praise you. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for what you're going to do through each and every person in this place. I thank you that their ladder was going to be greater than their past. You, Summit Restoration Church, as a transformation station. Where people can come in and become transformed, restored, renewed, rewritten, get salty, and then go out and rule their world. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence right now. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is in me right now, that it is in every person in this room, that your Holy Spirit is in this, every person in this room right now. May we become more sensitive to your leading. May our ears be in tune with your spirit. And when you say do, when you say go, when you say, we say yes. Lord, I thank you for the squeeze. Because it's in the squeeze that the oil begins to flow. It's not comfortable, but it's necessary. Them continue praying. I know some of you need to get to the baby shower and everything, so look here, I got you out of here at 10 after 12.
Thanks for joining us today at Summit Restoration Church. Stay encouraged, stay connected, and let's keep climbing higher together. See you next time.